In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's gospel, we heard Jesus confronting the Pharisees about their attitude towards the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest commanded by God in the Old Testament, commanded to the people of Israel through Moses. And God, in fact, laid great emphasis on the Sabbath, commanding at one point that a man who flagrantly violated the Sabbath should be stoned by the people of Israel as an example. So this was very important to God, and actually the Sabbath traces its way long before Moses to the very beginning of the world. As we read in Genesis chapter 1, how God created the world in 6 days, piece by piece, and then after creating man as the pinnacle of creation on the sixth day, Genesis tells us that God rested on the seventh day. He rested from all the work that he had been doing. And so he gave an example to us, not that God needs rest. And honestly, even though it says that God rested, and if God were to rest, the world would cease to be. God is always working. But he concluded the work that he had done so that he could give us an example that seventh day would be set aside for rest, not for his sake, but for our sake. And so our Lord Jesus Christ says that the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees, though, had created a whole regime of intricate rules to govern what people could and could not do on the Sabbath. It was recognized, even the Old Testament law, that people would need to do certain, like, maintenance kind of work, necessary work on the Sabbath. But the point was that work would all be minimized. So people could walk a certain distance, they could care for their animals, you know, who needed to be fed and watered on those days. It's not like the animals stopped eating one day a week. So necessary work could be done, but the work needed to be minimized. And yet the Pharisees, they went beyond what was written in the law to detail, you know, you could walk a certain distance, but no further, because if you walked further than that, it would be work. I mean, even today, I was amazed to discover, not today, but recently, amazed to discover that my oven that came with my house, my new oven, has a Sabbath mode. It has a Sabbath mode because you actually, according to those intricate Jewish laws that exist now, that are not found in the Old Testament, but the ones that exist now, according to those laws, you can't light your oven on the Sabbath. You can cook things in it. So this Sabbath mode lights the oven and keeps it on a minimal temperature all day long during the Sabbath, so you don't actually, because it's a gas oven, so you don't have to light it, because sparking that light is work. And they're all there. Oh, and Bishop Basil told a story about when he was a kid, and there was a Jewish neighbor who he really adored, who would pay him in order to tear the pieces, the squares, off of the toilet paper roll, so that there would be a stack of torn pieces, you know, torn squares for them to use on the Sabbath, because to tear the square off was work. So all of these intricate rules were kind of established, and they may have come from different motivations at different times, but at this moment in time, these Pharisees were intent on using these rules in order to assert their authority. They were the experts. They were the ones who you had to rely on and you had to obey so that you would not violate God's laws. And so the Sabbath was for them a weapon, like a whip, to use to spiritually enslave others. And specifically, because they saw Jesus as being a challenge to their authority, a weapon to use against him in order to assert their authority, so that the others around them wouldn't go following this new teacher instead of them. But Jesus confronts them because they are distorting and twisting the purpose of the Sabbath, the spirit of the Sabbath, the point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not just about obeying intricate laws. The Sabbath is about setting aside time and energy to devote to God. Stepping out of the mundane day-to-day activities of this world as much as is possible. We still have to eat, we still have to breathe, but as much as is possible, stepping out of the daily activities of this world in order to focus our hearts and our minds on spiritual things, to be invested in God, and to repeat this rhythm each week so that we don't stray too far from God. And so the Sabbath day is a day of worship, a day of study, a day of contemplation, a day of prayer. And the Lord points out that there are certain things that are okay to do on the Sabbath. In the first place, what happened in that encounter as Jesus was walking through the grain fields? His disciples were picking heads of wheat and eating them because they were hungry. And they were criticized by the Pharisees for that. But Jesus points out that the law does not exist to keep people, you know, in want. And therefore, eating on the Sabbath day, even picking heads of grain, even preparing food, turning on your oven on the Sabbath day, is okay. It's blessed by God. The other example, a man is in the synagogue on the Sabbath with a withered hand, and the Pharisees are watching, critical of him, waiting to accuse him, jump on him, if he breaks the Sabbath by healing this man, doing work by healing this man. But Jesus asked them, what is proper on the Sabbath, to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? Obviously, to do good, to do good works, to care for people who are in need is lawful on the Sabbath, as Jesus showed us by healing that man's withered hand. So the Sabbath was a day set apart for God. And even today, even though we don't follow the Jewish law, the church teaches us that the example of the Sabbath is kept for us not on Saturday, not on the Jewish Sabbath, but on the day of the Lord, on Sunday, on the day when we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, because of the new life that he's given us, that new spiritual life focused on spiritual things, which is the reason why the Sabbath exists in the first place, to devote time to prayer and contemplation, to worship, to serving others, to showing love. But that day, that one day, is not the limit for those good works. The church fathers tell us that the Sabbath is an example, actually, for us to follow all week long, as much as is possible, limiting our focus on worldly activities as much as is possible. And that's something we have to grow into, right? We don't sort of snap our fingers and suddenly we're otherworldly saints. But from the point we're at, working more and more to detach ourselves from worldly activities as much as possible in order to focus on the things of God. So the Sabbath is a lifestyle for us to seek to follow more and more every day of the week. And then finally, the church fathers tell us that the Sabbath day points us to what our great hope that we all look forward to at the end of time, the coming of Christ, the establishment of his eternal kingdom, when all of our lives will be consumed by those spiritual things, by adoring God, contemplating him, worshiping him, being in his presence. That the Sabbath is that great hope which St. Paul spoke of in today's epistle reading, when Christ will come and transform our lowly condition in the image of his glorious condition. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us give thanks to God for the Sabbath, and let us put it into practice, the spirit of this Sabbath, that we might grow more and more detached from the activities of this world, to live in quietness in the presence of our God, to whom be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.